Last year, during the kind of the peak of COVID, a church near Canada in the Oroville, Washington area, they lost their pastor. And they still don't have a pastor. Several months ago, she saw Community Bible Church reached out to us and asked if they could kind of be a part of Grace Point and the messages and the services. And would you give them, you got to be loud because of the mics and we want them to hear, could you give She Saw Community Bible Church a warm Grace Point welcome? All right. So Mike Buckley and your church there, and please, when you're able to gather, please take a picture and send it to us. We would love, we're honored that you would want to be a part of our Grace Point church. You're in our extension church in that area. Whether you realize it or not, you could be the hunter or the one being hunted. With night vision, targets, the circle. Are you hunting? Because I guarantee you someone's hunting you. So what are you hunting? Who or what has its target on you? 1 Peter 5 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around seeking someone to devour. Whether you realize it or not, you are being hunted. But I'm on the hunt too, knowing that I am being hunted. In this series, Relationship Goals, today we're going to talk about, I want to challenge you in your relationships to have a goal of fox hunting. Fox hunting. We talked about having a goal of Christ-driven mission. Christ-centered, mission-driven. Today is fox hunting. Fox hunting. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll get there in a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll have it on the screen. And if you're also kind of new in our gatherings here in the house, on the back walls, there's Bibles. You're free to use one. If you don't have a Bible, it's yours now from your church here. But see, I grew up in Santa Clara Valley, California, otherwise known as Silicon Valley. And you know, I just grew up in San Jose. I'm very comfortable with highways, concrete, traffic, and noise. That's my heritage. And then God had me here for 9 years of the 1990s. Then we went back to California, in Southern California, to pastor down there. And 2005, God called me back, sense of humor, that God would put me in a lead pastor position. And I found out, coming back in 2005, that God has a lot of hunters in this church. And just surrounded me with hunters, one of them being my really good friend, our former executive pastor, Paul Hill. And every time I would go to his house in Paulsbo, and now he's leading a ministry in Montana, when I go to his house, in both of his houses, I said, Paul, you don't have a house. You have a hunting lodge. There's bear rugs, there's, you know, deer, there's elk, there's a moose on the wall. I mean, every wall is filled. He doesn't have a house. He has a hunting lodge. And a year or so ago, he was telling me that on his, you know, campus, the one-year Bible college there, they were having a cougar problem. That the students would go to this house for the showers. And on several occasions, they would open the door after they finished their shower, and on the path facing them was a cougar. And that's kind of not a very conducive educational environment. But Paul and some friends killed the cougar. That's not a little kitty cat, is it? That is a man's cougar. And that wasn't the only one. Then they had one at their house up under a tree, and it was just crazy. But even though I'm from Santa Clara, Silicon Valley area, over 36 years, I've been a hunter. Now when people hear back in the day, and Tony Wiggins and a bunch of hunters, they're like, hey, you're gonna go hunting? You're gonna go hunting with us? We'll go to Eastern Washington, we got this sweet place. And you know, and Paul's like, I'll outfit you, and I got camos, and I got elk urine spray. I'm like, seriously? He goes, yeah, it takes a scent away. And I'm, they're like, you want to go hunting? I'm like, no. Oh, it'd be fun. It'd be fun. No. Why would you say no? It's because I want to have sex with my wife. And I kill. If I kill Bambi, she will ignore me. All right? But I have been a hunter. My wife has joined me in the hunt. What do we hunt? Foxes. We hunt foxes. Now that on the surface, they're like, oh, it's so cute. It's so harmless. These are mean suckers. These are dangerous creatures. And in the book of Solomon, where the girl and the guy meet, and then they start pursuing each other, and then they get engaged and get married. Well, in chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, we'll be there in a couple of weeks. The girl says this to her man, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin our vineyard, our vineyards that are in bloom. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that they're ruining our vineyard. Now in Israel, they have a real fox problem, especially around the vineyards. And the next slide, please. And these foxes are real. And they ruin the roots because they dig down to like make a little hole for them to wedge in. And so they ruin the roots and they eat the fruit. And this very metaphoric, beautiful, if you understand the metaphor, Song of Solomon, for vineyards, the picture is the vineyards represents our love, our relationship. And we've got to catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining our love, ruining our relationship if we don't catch them, because they will ruin the roots and the fruit of our love. They will ruin the roots and the fruit of our relationship. So I'm a fox hunter. My wife's a fox hunter. I want to say a challenge for a goal in your relationships. And this today applies whether you're single and one day would like to be married, or one day would want to be dated and dating somebody, or you're married and you're in it. Have a goal of Christ-centered, mission-driven, and fox hunting. Central point is this: fox hunting is not seasonal. It's year-round. Fox hunting is not for when you're young. And then when you get older, you're good. You don't need to do that anymore. Or, okay, hey, I'm engaged now. I don't have to, you know, fox hunt. Oh, yes, you do, more than ever. And then when you're married, you're like, okay, I'm married. We don't have to. Yo, it's even more you have to become a fox hunter. And a mindset can kind of sink in going, I'm good. We're good. See, because we love each other. And our love is strong. And nothing will defeat our love. Oh, there's foxes that want to ruin the roots and the fruit of your relationship. And I'm more fox hunting now at 56 years old than I've ever been. If you know the story about David and Bathsheba, David was not a young man when he slept with his friend's wife. He was not a young man. Fox hunting. So I'm going to talk about three destructive foxes. And the last fox, like I warned you last week, if you rewatched, the last fox is a PG-13. So especially for those of you watching right now, when I get there, you might be prepared. You pause it and the little kids to be distracting. So we can talk about something that needs to be said. But the first destructive fox is simply selfishness. Selfishness is the leading cause of death in any relationship. Selfishness is the leading cause of death. Now I'm gonna do a little word game. If you've done this before, don't ruin it, okay? I'm gonna give a word and I want a response, and I need you loud, okay, for those watching online so they don't just hear nothing. I'm going to give you a word, and you quickly give me the opposite. All right, I'm going to give you a word, and just the first word that comes, you know, to your mind, give me the opposite. Are you ready? Okay, this side is. Are you ready? Okay, there we go. First word. Light. Okay, up. All right. Right. Good. Winning. Losing. Love. Ah, you walked right into it. Most of you said hate. Some of you know where I was going. You were wise to keep your mouth closed. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Love gives. Selfishness takes and takes and takes and takes and takes. Love is a sacrifice at times. Oh, this is going to cost me. Love is a sacrifice. And selfishness is like, I'm not going to sacrifice. You sacrifice. I'm not going to sacrifice. Love thinks of others. Selfishness thinks of self all the time. The leading cause of death of any relationship is selfishness. And this is a fox that needs to be killed. And there's going to be another fox that comes up and you got to kill it. And another fox creeps in. You got to kill it. You got to be constantly hunting, because fox hunting is not seasonal. It's not temporary. It's not just a season. It is all the time. All the time. Now there's a chapter, it's a beautiful chapter in Philippians. In chapter 2, it really gives us this couple of verses that if you get these verses, you apply it, it's going to just bless you and others in relationship with you. And then after these verses, it gives, let me give you an example of who did this all the time. It was Jesus. And it's just this beautiful picture of how Jesus showed us as an example of really how to be selfless. In Philippians chapter 2:2-3, again, if you get this, you're going to be a great friend. If you apply this, you're going to be an incredible fiance or girlfriend or boyfriend. If you get this and you apply, both spouses apply it, you're going to have an awesome, healthy, life-giving marriage. Paul says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It's all about me. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, and it means own interest only, but each of you to the interest of the others. Then it said this, you need to have the same mindset that Jesus had. Here, Jesus, who was God, he came to earth, he didn't use the God card. Jesus could have just manipulated and dropped his authority and said, do this because I'm the Son of God, and do that and jump in line. He never used his rightful place and as an advantage to himself. It says, but yet, Jesus humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the universe, creator of you and everything living. When he came here, he modeled being a servant, which is the opposite of being selfish. Being selfish. Now, let me give you some examples of when something creeps into your mind or comes out of your mouth. Here are signs of selfishness. It's about what I want. It's about what I need. It's about what I deserve. It's what I expect. Now, I'm not saying you should never have any wants or desires or expectations, you know. I'm not saying that, but if it's, that is the core of who you are. Remember the Christ-centered, you can't have self being the center and Christ-centered at the same time. But a self-centered person is gonna be, it's all about my needs, my wants, my desires, my expectations. Here's some examples of selfishness in a relationship. It's when there's a demanding spouse with unhealthy desires and fantasies. That's selfish. It's when someone is indifferent to their friend or to their fiance or to their spouse, indifferent about their needs and hopes and desires. They're just indifferent. So an example of selfishness is that you're happy when you get your way and you're angry or pouting when you don't get your way. That's a dead giveaway of selfishness. Or you flaunt when you're right and you rarely, if ever, admit that you're wrong. Self, 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 self. That's a fox that will destroy and ruin the roots and fruit of your relationships. And this is a fox that needs to be hunted and taken out with prep, with understanding that another fox of selfishness will rise again and continue, because all of us, there's a DNA been misaligned because of sin, is that we're all selfish to the core. That's just, it comes natural to us. You don't have to train your children. Here, honey, here's how to be selfish. No, they came out of the womb. I'm hungry. All right, give me some food now. And they're in their crib. I'm dirty. Fix me. Feed me. It's all about me. And it just, we just hide it as we get older, but it's there. Another destructive fox is bitterness and resentment. It's a destructive fox. They're always tied together. They're never separate. Bitterness and resentment is in every relationship if we're not careful. Because in every relationship, any relationship, all relationships. Am I making myself clear? Any relationships, in every relationships, there's gonna be hurt. There's gonna be disappointment. There's gonna be frustration. There's gonna be, I got an expectation, but that expectation is not met. That is in every single relationship. I don't care, it's with, you know, your sisters and brothers, it's with your best friend, it's with your parents, it's with your pastor, it's with your spouse, doesn't matter. Every relationship has hurt, disappointment, frustration, and unmet expectations. But an unhealthy person, they'll just be quiet, and they'll take it, and a seed of bitterness will grow. Here's the thing about bitterness. Bitterness breeds, and resentment grows. Bitterness breeds, meaning other people that you hang out with, if they're bitter, watch out. It's just a matter of time when you catch it. Because bitterness breeds. And those outside relationships are gonna come into your heart and then begin to affect your life and your thinking and your emotions and your perspective. And it's just, and here's a dead giveaway, is you have a friend that's, they're hurt and then become bitter with this person, and they're another person. They get hurt and then they get bitter, and there's a problem, and there's, it's that person did this to me, and then there's another person, this person hurt me, and look what they did, and look what they said, and look what they didn't do, and now I'm bitter about them, and I'm frustrated. And it's just constantly growing. And they're constantly the victim. You're around that all the time, bitterness breeds. You will catch it. And resentment grows. Resentment grows, meaning another issue, and then another issue, and then another issue, and then another person, and then another person, and it just kind of grows up. Some of you entered into marriage with bitterness and resentment, and you have unresolved issues, and you haven't forgiven maybe your dad or your mom or your sister or whatever in your past, and you bring all that baggage into your relationships, into your dating relationships, into engagement, and then marriage. And then guess what's gonna come up in your marriage and your relationships? Bitterness and resentment, bitterness and resentment. And if these foxes are not constantly hunted and taken out, you change because of what happens with bitterness. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the author says this, make every effort to live in peace. Why does he tell us to make every effort? Because it's hard to live in peace with everyone. Why? Because they're human and sinful creatures like you are and I am. So he says, we gotta make every effort, man. It's a constant thing. To just live in peace doesn't mean you agree on everything. Doesn't mean you like everything the same. Maybe see the same perspective, but I gotta make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and then, and to be holy. Now, this passage right here is for believers, or for Christ followers. If you're not a Christ follower, this passage could be helpful for you. If you implement it, it will be a blessing to you in your relationships. But if you are a follower of Jesus, we don't have an out. That we should live in peace with everyone and be holy. We're different, we're set apart, we stand out. Our relationships has that kind of a spirit of purity in it. And he says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, let me go back to this phrase. Again, as a follower of Christ, you understand, for by grace, we have been saved by faith in Jesus. Amen? We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We're not good enough. God gives it to us as a gift. And so we receive the grace of God at salvation. And with that comes forgiveness we don't deserve, forgiveness we can't earn. We receive the relationship with God. We receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, all these gifts come to us because of faith in Jesus Christ. But then as a believer, and we get upset with someone, maybe we're related to them, or we're married to them, or we go to church with them, whatever, and we just, like, we're not going to live in peace and do whatever it takes, we're gonna fall short of what was given to us. Because we're not giving it to other people. And if we don't do that, he says, make sure that a bitter root doesn't grow up inside of you. And a bitter root, what it will do is it will defile, it will bring lots of trouble and defile many. Because bitterness breeds and resentment grows. When I was a youth pastor for many, many years, we made lots of changes. Teenagers got saved, baptized, going into ministry. And I made tons of changes because every youth group I inherited was a church club of spoiled, apathetic teenagers. And to make changes so that we were an outside-looking youth group, that we wanted to help those inside grow in their walk with Jesus, and we wanted to see kids from Central Kitsap come to Jesus in Olympic and South and Bremerton and North. And every youth group, things grew as they began to get their eyes off themselves, get closer to Jesus, and invite their friends. I rarely had conflict with students, and parents loved me. But for 15 years being a senior pastor here, making decisions, and I've not been perfect. I did stupid things and made stupid short choices. But my heart has always been, how do we help people here grow closer to Jesus as we begin to look outward into Kitsap County? And I've lost more friends. I'm not trying to wind up here. I'm just trying to give you perspective. I've lost more friends and made more enemies. And my kind of joke is we've helped other churches grow. But what has kept me sane, what has kept me where God has called me, is one of my life verses, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. And it is gonna be a pure spring or a bitter spring. It's my choice. So even when I've been hurt, even when I've been rejected, even when I've had people angry at me, I have to fox hunt bitterness and resentment coming into my heart. Because it will kill me. It will change me. And I've had to go see counseling because I started becoming bitter and resentful. There's a famous phrase that I want to share with you. Bitterness and resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I'm so mad at my husband. I'm so mad at my wife. I can't believe, how could they? Da, da, da. I'm so mad at my parents. I'm so mad at my friend. I'm so mad at this church. I'm so mad. And you maybe have good reasons. But if you don't kill this fox, bitterness and resentment, it's like you're going to drink poison hoping that they feel the pain and they die. And most of the time, they won't. They're fine. But it changes you. healthy relationships, when a major on the major, a minor on minors, is this really, really, really that important to get upset about? I'm gonna communicate often, forgive freely. I receive the grace of God, I gotta give grace to other people because God gave it to me. I have a thing that I talk about in staff all the time. If there's a pebble in my shoe, is it that big of a deal? But if it's there and I keep tossing it out, it keeps coming back, I gotta have a conversation with someone. Okay, what am I doing wrong to frustrate you? Because this is what's happening and I'm getting frustrated. And I don't want a pebble in my shoe, I wanna catch it early. I'm gonna seek conflict resolution, I'm gonna restore, and I gotta constantly battle. Here's the question, whether it's in your job, or in your home, in your dating life, and as a married spouse, here's something to think about. What is more important, the relationship or me winning the argument? What is more important, the relationship or me being right? Sometimes I'd much rather be wrong, because the relationship is more important. And that's one way I fox hunt. Because I don't want bitterness and resentment, because it will damage the roots and the fruit of any relationship. Now the next fox, the last fox we're gonna talk about, there's a ton of them, but we're talking about three of them today. This one is a PG-13 one. Again, if you're at home, for little children, pause. I want your 13-year-old to hear this. In fact, I probably want your 10-year-old to hear this. You might have to follow up conversation. Because this is a fox we don't talk about, especially at church. But it is a very destructive fox that needs to be hunted constantly. And it's pornography. Pornography. Every time I miss that word teaching, the oxygen leaves, I asked Nash and Kevin, I said, have some oxygen meters in the auditorium. Because every time I talk about this, no one wants to move. My ear itches, but I'm not moving. Oh my goodness, this is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable because you know why? This is the number one secret sin of men and women. Number one secret sin. This is a sin that has so many people in bondage. Whether you love Jesus or you don't know Jesus. Pornography short circuits what we want. We want sexual satisfaction. We want sexual enjoyment. Pornography will just short circuit it. In fact, pornography, I'll talk about this a little bit later. Pornography actually begins to rewire our brain. The number one by the largest sex organ in our bodies is our brain. It actually begins to rewire our brain. It changes us just like drugs do. It's that powerful. In that same passage of Hebrews 12, look at verse 16. I have it on the screen here. He says, see to it that no one is sexually immoral. Let me pause right there so everybody understands. Biblically speaking, sexual purity is this box inside the marriage relationship between a man and a woman called husband and wife, period. Inside that box, God says, woohoo, go for it. Enjoy it. I gave it to you as a gift. Use it often. We're gonna talk about that in a couple weeks. Anything outside that box, any sexual activity, sexual acts, sexual enjoyment, sexual gratification, anything outside the box of a husband and wife relationship is sexual immorality. Even in the Greek word is porneia. That's where we get the word pornography. So it's not just an act between two bodies outside the box of marriage. That's sexual immorality, but even pornography. Any sexual activity outside of that is sexual immorality. He says, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau. Esau realized that there was a God. He just didn't care. He realized there was a God. He just didn't care. He's so apathetic. And he, as a firstborn, he got the inheritance that God set up for the firstborn. I mean, he got everything. But because he didn't really care, he says, for Esau, for a single meal, and it wasn't even a good meal, it was stew. Sorry if stew lovers. It was just a bowl of stew. For a bowl of stew, a stew, not stool, that's gross. Okay, for a single meal of stew, He sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son, gave it away freely, cheaply. Verse 17, afterwards, as you know, if you know the story, when he wanted to inherit this blessing from his father, he was rejected. Dad already gave it away. Even though Esau sought the blessings with tears, he could not change what he had done. There are some sobering stats. And these aren't Christian sites that I did research on. These are just, they're public. It's, I mean, our culture realized we have a big problem. Our culture is realizing it. 70% of men and 30% of women watch porn every month. 70% of men and 30% of women. The fastest rate of new pornography users is women. 55% of married men and 25% of married women watch porn every month. This is absolutely startling. Pornography use increases the infidelity rate, the cheating rate. Pornography use increases the cheating rate, the infidelity rate, by more than 300%. You want to jack up your marriage? Mess around with porn. 94% of children, 94% of children see porn well before the age of 14. It's down like 10 now. Why? Because our smartphones would make us so stupid. It's right there. Some of you old enough to remember, you had to go to the seedy part of town and go walk into a building to get junk. Now it's on our phone, it's on our tablet, it's on our TV, it's on demand, it's on our computer. Porn is like living, and we are, living in this ocean of salt water. And porn is like drinking salt water because you're thirsty, which only makes you more thirsty, and you keep drinking it, you die. That's porn. And here's the science. The science is all over. Again, this is not a pastor site that I got this from. Is that porn is just like heroin to a brain. It actually rewires our brain. Here's a normal brain. Here's a brain on heroin. Here's a brain with porn. Porn addiction. There's no difference. And it rewires our brain. They have a distorted reality of the opposite sex, the view of sex, the view of women, the view of men. I mean, it just absolutely rewires, just like heroin does, just like cocaine does. It is that addictive. Oh, it's just soft porn. That just leads to more hard porn. And this is the science, because God made our bodies. We're wonderfully created. We got all these chemicals that God gave us, chemicals when we were aroused. It's to funnel everything toward our spouse. And there's these chemicals, but here's what happens chemically with pornography. While pornography activates the appetitive system, the appetite system of our body, by the way of dopamine, that's what porn activates, by way of dopamine, an orgasm caused by pornography does not release endorphins. Does not release endorphins, which are the chemicals, and I would add, that God gave us, that makes us feel satisfied. God gave us chemicals to, this excites me. I gotta focus on my girl. I gotta focus on my man. And then to enjoy in the confine of that box is also endorphins, so that you, when you're done, you're like, oh man, I think I love them more now than I did before. That's God's plan, chemically. But orgasms caused by pornography does not release endorphins, which are the chemicals that make us feel satisfied. This lack of satisfaction, combined with the brain's competitive plasticity, causes the brain to require more and more novel and extreme images to get the same chemical result as before. That's why it's so powerful. So what do we do? We've had classes, we've had Conquer video series and all that. And I'm like, you know what? The Bible gives us the antidote, or what we are to do. Because none of us are immune from the powerful effects of pornography. So what do we do? There's only one solution that the Bible gives us, found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. What's that? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and desires. What are we to do? Put it to death. And I have found over 35 years of pastoral ministry that the only death that makes pornography and really kills this fox of pornography is starvation. 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 That's the death pornography needs. So you need to, and you're like, well, can I just read my Bible more? Read the Bible, but starve it. Bible reading, Bible memorization, worship music, praying to God, asking to God, please take this attraction away from me. You can pray till you're blue in the face. Bible says, what did you do with it? Pray more? No, put it to death. Starve it. That, and any person who is a crackhead or a heroin person, they gotta make drastic changes, right? To starve them and wean them off of that powerful drug that started small and they got away from them. So you gotta be crazy. You gotta be crazy serious. You need to starve it off your phone. You got to starve it off your tablet. You got to starve it off your computer. You got to starve it off your TV. We're going to cancel those premium channels. We're going to block this. We're going to block that. You may have to get so crazy that you're like, we're not going to have a laptop in alone in a room by myself. We're going to have a hardwired computer in the middle of where everybody lives with your back to everybody that could walk in. Because we figured out how you can do this and then go to the history and delete it. You can't delete it out of your head and your body and your brain. Parents, you better be really careful when you give your child a phone. I said, give them a flip phone. They're like, you're the worst parents ever. Like, no, these smartphones make you stupid. Here for a while. Here's a flip phone. Here's what you do with a phone. You call somebody. That's it. But I can't take pictures. Sorry. Whatever it takes. The only way to kill this fox is starve it to death. Fox hunting is not seasonal. It's year round. It's constant till we get to heaven. Guess what? There's no fox hunting in heaven. Praise Jesus. Until then, it's on. It's on. It's on. And this fox of selfishness, of bitterness and resentment and pornography are foxes that will destroy the roots of your love and relationships, the fruit of love and relationships. And they'll just keep coming and coming and coming. We got to be Christ-centered as a goal. We got to be mission-driven. And we're going to be fox hunting. Make that a goal. It's hard. The battle never stops. I tell you, inside this box, when you do lots of fox hunting, we're going to talk about this in 2 more weeks, intimately satisfied. It's beautiful, because that's what God made our bodies, to enjoy this beautiful thing called marital intimacy. It's mind-blowing. And it's worth every fox dying. God, we ask for your help. Ask for help. We need it. We're so selfish. We're so easily hurt and offended, and we get bitter and resentful. And we were living in a culture. We're swimming in images. We're swimming in temptation. It's all around us. And that salt water, even though we're thirsty, will never satisfy it, and it will kill our relationships if we keep drinking out of it. Lord, I pray that you would empower people who heard this from you, God. Empower them to gain freedom as they begin to get serious about some issues in their heart, issues in their soul, issues in our culture. God, I pray that you bring victory And God, I pray that you'd bless your truth from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.